Let's pray together tonight, and I'd like to study the Bible tonight. I'd like to also tell you my story about how I became a Christian. I want to tell you that story not to glorify myself, but to glorify the God who saved me. So I'd like to have prayer together, and I would also like to then tell you my story. I also, before we do that, I just want to let you know that I'm going to make a call tonight, and I'm going to invite people to make a decision for Jesus. And I want you to prepare your hearts for that by the grace of God. Let's pray together. Father, tonight, as we study your word, and as I share the way you have worked in my life, I pray, please, Father, that you would speak to hearts. May the words that come from your Bible, that come from my lips, touch and reach out to people in need. Father, I believe with all of my heart that you would not have me here wasting my time, but that you would have me here to communicate so that people could make decisions for eternity. And Lord, I pray that you would make that happen today through the power of your Spirit. And I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to start tonight with a story about a woman named Chloe Lanthier. Chloe is a world-class endurance athlete. Now, normally when we think of endurance races, we think of races that last, you know, an hour or two at max. Chloe is a mountain bike racer, and I see a couple of mountain bikes back there. And Chloe races mountain bikes, but the races that she races in are at least 24 hours. And she tells a story about a particular mountain bike race that she was taking part of. It was in the mountains in Canada. And as she was riding her bike, they start in the morning and they ride all night. And she tells a story about how at about 2 o'clock in the morning, she had been riding for several hours. At about 2 o'clock in the morning, a deep fog began to settle and the temperature dropped to just barely above zero. And she had been riding for so long, and it was becoming so cold that she became hypothermic. And when you've been riding and you've been putting so much of your life and your energy into a race, you know what your body begins to do? After it's consumed all of its carbohydrates, after it's consumed all of the protein that's in your body just floating around, you know what your body begins to burn then next? Yourself. That's exactly right. Your body begins to burn yourself, and your body actually begins to produce. Have you ever cleaned the windows with ammonia? Ever cleaned the windows with ammonia or Windex? When ammonia, it's what's in Windex. So when you're riding a bike and you're in this kind of intense endurance exercises, your body begins to reek like what you clean the windows with. And now here she is, it's 2 o'clock in the morning, it's 3 o'clock in the morning, and she is desperately tired, she's wanting to give up, but she continues to push on, and push on, and push on. And she crosses the finish line, and she crosses with a first place. And immediately after the interview, or after the race, they gave her an interview, and they asked her, "Chloe, how do you feel after winning this race, after pouring so much, 24 hours of your life into this grueling race where your body begins to eat itself. You almost die of hypothermia. Tell me, Chloe, how do you feel after this race?" And she looks at them and she says, "The joy of winning is bitter sweet. It's all over. I feel a huge void." Today, my friends, I'd like to talk to you about that void. The Bible says in the book of Colossians, and if you brought your Bible this evening, I'd like to invite you to turn to the book of Colossians, Colossians chapter 2. Colossians, the second chapter, and I believe it's the 10th verse. We have a scripture that says, Colossians chapter 2, it's speaking about in verse 9 that Jesus was, when Jesus came to the earth, in Colossians 2, verse 9 essentially says that when Jesus came to this earth, He was full of God. And then the very next verse, after it says that Jesus was full of God, that's verse 9, verse 10 then says, "And you are complete in Him." Now, I've got a question for you, brothers and sisters. If the Bible says that in Jesus Christ I am complete, then what am I outside of Jesus Christ? I'm incomplete. That's exactly right. If in Christ I'm complete, then outside of Christ what am I? Incomplete. Very good. And brothers and sisters, tonight, that's what I want to talk to you about. I want to talk to you about how with Jesus Christ we are complete. But apart from Jesus Christ, we are incomplete. Chloe Lanfear, world-class endurance athlete, when she got done with the race, she had the joy of the race, but at the end of the race, she realized that she was what? Incomplete. She had a void. She had an emptiness. The way I like to explain it is this. How many of you have ever put a puzzle together only to get all of the pieces put into the puzzle and you find that there is one piece missing? Ever had that experience? I've had that experience. Now listen, I've got another question for you. How many of you, when you have one piece of the puzzle missing, go through every other puzzle you have in the house, putting in the wrong piece? I'd like to tell you, my friends, about my life. About how in my life, before I became a Christian, I realized that my life was incomplete. And I did everything I could do to make my life complete. And I'll start with my life in about fifth grade. Anybody, we have people that are older than fifth graders here, don't we? Any fifth graders here? One? No? No? Any fifth graders here? One? Two? That's all right. Nobody will pick on you. Two guys are pointing at each other. Well, listen, brothers and sisters, I'll start with my life in about fifth grade. I had a cousin in fifth grade. His name was Herb Hogan. Isn't that quite the name for a cousin? And the guy was, I thought he was the coolest thing in the world. And he could skateboard. And he got me into skateboarding. And so in fifth grade, I started skateboarding. And from fifth grade to eighth grade, my life was consumed with skateboarding. Anybody here like to skateboard? We've got a ton of skateboarders here. Did anybody... By the way, I have never broken a skateboard, and I have dropped several 8-foot drops on my skateboard. Never broke a skateboard. Anybody else? Anybody bring their skateboard to camp meeting this year? He's got his skateboard. They're illegal at camp meeting? Now, I tell you what. Last year at camp meeting, no joke, I was over on that basketball court riding a skateboard, and Pastor Paul Palandini came up. He's the big shot. He's one of the big shots at the conference. And he didn't give me a hard time for riding a skateboard. But maybe he didn't do it because he thought I was trying to reach out to some of the young people. I don't know. But anyway, when I was in fifth grade, I became consumed with skateboarding. I took my skateboard to school with me. I rode my skateboard everywhere. In fact, in the winter, I grew up in the Black Hills of South Dakota, and we have winters like we have here in Michigan. And what I did with my skateboard is I would go into the basements of the downtown buildings and ride my skateboards. My life was consumed with skateboarding. In fact, it continued to be consumed with skateboarding after the 8th grade. Then I went from the 8th grade to my freshman year and then my sophomore year. And I rode my skateboard, and I rode my skateboard, and I rode my skateboard like crazy. But I never was complete. I was like a puzzle that was missing a piece. And that piece that I was missing was Jesus Christ. And I kept trying to put a skateboard into the puzzle. But it just didn't fit. You're cute. So when I was a sophomore, very beginning of my sophomore year, I met a young lady. And I was hoping to find completeness from her. And I tried. I was, what, 14 and a half, almost 15? And I tried from 15 to 20 to be complete with her. And I found no completeness. But in the meantime, while I was seeking to find completeness in a relationship, and by the way, young people, you know, we have it in our minds, young people, we get it in our minds that if we could just enter into that relationship with that boy or with that girl or with that young woman and that charming young man, Then it would be good. Things would be cool then, right? That would be the greatest. My friends, I'm here to tell you that if you are entering into relationships without the thought of marriage, you will find them to be nothing but bankrupt. Been there, done that. And I have found it to be incomplete. Well, as I talked a little bit last night, I mentioned to you that I became interested in rock climbing. So about the time I was a sophomore as well, I started rock climbing. And I've been rock climbing in virtually every state west of Michigan. From Texas to Washington and Oregon. I've been rock climbing in France. In fact, right before I was converted, I went to France to go rock climbing. And I was hanging out down in the south of France. That's where all the good rock climbing is. And I had a lot of very unusual experiences in France. One time, it's interesting because as I begin to look back on my life, I see the way that God was leading me step by step to the place where I would become a Christian. Let me give you another illustration of that. Remember I told you about that girl? Interesting thing. This girl was a punk rock girl. I don't know if you guys know what punk rockers are like. Punk rock girls, yes. Actually, I dyed her hair pink with Kool-Aid. That's a punk... I'm sorry, I didn't hear you, and I don't think I wanted to. But she got me into punk rock music. Any of you guys familiar with punk rock music? Oh, man, I was hoping none of you raised your hands. I tricked you. But anyway, she got me super into punk rock music. But listen, it's interesting because I think that punk rock music is atrocious music. I believe that punk rock music is absolutely the farthest thing from the kind of music that we're going to be singing in heaven. But this is what else I believe, though, that God used something negative like punk rock to bring out something positive. And let me tell you what it is. The punk rockers where I grew up are what are called straight-edge punk rockers. Are you familiar with straight-edge punk rockers? Straight-edge punk rockers are a unique crowd. Straight-edge punk rockers, although they have shaved heads and dye their hair and have their ears pierced several times and their tongues pierced and other things pierced that you don't want to know about, straight-edge punk rockers are generally vegan vegetarians. A vegan vegetarian is a vegetarian who does not eat eggs or milk or any meat. Straight-edge punk rockers do not drink, they do not smoke, they do not use drugs. In fact, many straight-edge punk rockers don't even drink caffeine. Unfortunately, I was not one of those kind of straight-edge punk rockers. So straight-edge punk rockers are a radical group of people. They're vegan, they're radical vegetarians, they're straight on alcohol, they're straight on tobacco, they use no drugs, and this is the way I grew up. In fact, one of my favorite things to say to my druggy friends in my high school was, "I'm as straight as the line you sniff up your nose," making fun of them. So, interestingly enough, and you'll see, in a little while, you'll see why I'm bringing out this vegetarian thing and this punk rock thing, because it ties into how I was converted. Now, we'll jump back. I was radically into rock climbing. I traveled all over the world rock climbing. My very last rock climbing trip that I took before I was a Christian was to the south of France. While I was in the south of France, I remember one day in particular, I was just telling the guys about it. I was sitting in a little town named Cassis. Cassis is right on the Mediterranean Sea, and I was up on this high bluff in the campground, and I was looking out over the Mediterranean Sea, and the Mediterranean Sea is so beautiful. It's this electric blue. It looks like a swimming pool. It's so gorgeous. And it's such a high salt content, you can swim in it for hours and hours and hours and never get tired because you just float and float and float. And I was sitting in my campsite, I was in my tent, just looking across the way, and across the way there were these two German girls, and they were singing this song. It's written by Bertrand Russell, who's a very famous American composer. They were singing the song, and the lyrics say something like, and I'm not a singer, but the lyrics say something like, "Summertime, living is easy." Now you think about it, an American boy, 20 years old, in the south of France, overlooking the Mediterranean, and there's two German girls who were fairly attractive. They're singing a song, "Summertime, living is easy," in American. Talk about exciting. Well, I bring that point out because that song, Summertime Living is Easy, I believe was an encapsulation of what my life was before I was a Christian. My life was just a life of ease. I tell people I worked maybe 6 months out of the year, and the rest of the time my life was rock climbing, rock climbing, rock climbing, rock climbing. But you know what my life was? All the while I was interested in the girl, all the while I was consuming and filling my life with rock climbing, all the while my life, when I was trying to make it complete, it was incomplete. I was like Chloe Lanfear when I finished the day of rock climbing, when I was in south of France, rock climbing paradise. I would finish a day of rock climbing, I would go back to where I was sleeping that night, I would lie in my tent, and I would think to myself, what's the point? I go out and I have fun, but I come back and it's the same old, same old. The joy of winning is bittersweet. I feel a huge void. Young people, tonight, I tell you this, that no matter what it is you put into your life to make yourselves complete, whether it's relationships, whether it's rock climbing or skateboarding or basketball or football or hockey or being a joker, it will not make you complete. It will make you void. I came back from France, and I had heard a story about a buddy of mine. His name was David Asherick. Anybody here ever hear of David Asherick? David Asherick is one of my best friends in all the world. Well, when I got back from France, the rumors were racing around town about David Asherick. Everybody was saying, Nate, when I got back from France, everybody came up to me and they're like, listen, Nate, keep away from David. He's lost his mind. What they really meant was David had become a Christian. And sure enough, David had become a Christian. In fact, when I saw David, he kind of looked like David. He kind of talked like David. I mean, he looked like David in that he still had a shaved head like a punk rocker. But something was different. The first thing I noticed that was different is that he had a new tattoo, a big tattoo of Jesus on the cross on his belly. You know, it's interesting, when people first become Christians, they don't always understand everything, right? So when he first became a Christian, he did the very first thing that a punk rocker does when he really likes something. He goes, gets a tattoo about it. So I knew something had happened to David because he didn't swear so much. And he had a big tattoo of Jesus, and when he would eat, he would pray. So I knew something had happened. And everybody was telling me, you know, beware of David, beware of David. So I went, I wasn't too scared, you know, I knew some Christians, I didn't like them, but I didn't think they bit either. So I went to visit David. And when I went to visit David, because I was in France, it was my first time ever being totally alone. In fact, let me tell you, when I was in France one night, I had virtually run out of money, and the campground that I had walked 28 miles in one day, carrying a backpack and a cart with all my stuff, and at the halfway point, there was a restaurant. And I was a radical vegetarian. I never ate anything with dairy in it, never. And so when I got to the restaurant, I asked them in my broken French, you know, do you have any food for me to eat? And they showed me the menu, and it was like fish head soup. And all this just nasty French food. So I said to them, I said, I guess I'll have a bowl of sorbet. Does anybody know what sorbet is? It's like ice cream with no milk. It's like ice cream. So I had a bowl of ice cream and a Coca-Cola Classic, cost me $10. That was my only meal in 26 miles. When I got to the campground was supposed to be free, but it wasn't. And the next grocery store was 5 miles beyond that, so I had to walk from this place to the grocery store. I got my food, I slept one night there, and then I went out into the woods. Now this is, mind you, this is only 50 miles south of Paris. I just went out into the woods and pitched my tent. I was there for over a week. It was the freakiest thing of my life, because on two occasions, we had crazy, wild, drunk teenagers that would come into the parking lot, not but 100 yards from where my tent was, and they would start shooting guns. And they would be doing cookies. Now, I wasn't a Christian at this time. I was an atheist. My favorite word to use with the word Christian was the F word. And here I am in my tent, out in the middle of the woods. It's totally dark. I'm all by myself. Nobody knows where I'm at. My family doesn't know where I'm at. My friends don't know where I'm at. I don't even really know where I'm at. And there's all these people out there doing cookies, shooting guns, swearing, and just going crazy and crazy. And I was freaked out. Then, when I finally got out of France, and I was glad to get out of France, because I was so tired of speaking French. So when I got to London, I was really rejoicing, but London was such a weird place. Anybody here ever been to London? It's a very weird place, at least the parts of London I was in. And I'm just telling you these things just to let you know what God did to bring me to the place where I was able to be converted. When I was in London, I was just walking down the street, and there was a drunk man, and he accidentally bumped into somebody that wasn't drunk. And the man that wasn't drunk just turned around and beat the guy to just bits. I mean, it was just brutal and sick. Then, later that day, some other very bizarre things happened. And when I got back to America, when I first went to France, I was in Washington, D.C., and I thought, Washington, D.C. is weird. When I flew back, I landed in Washington, D.C., and after being out of the United States for a month, I wanted to kiss the ground. I mean, that's just, I was so excited to be home. So anyway, after God had done, He had allowed all of these bizarre, weird experiences to happen to me. People shooting guns towards me and just bizarre, weird things. When I got home, I was excited to go visit my buddy David, who all the rumors about him were true, had become a Christian. When I went to David's house, I told David, I said, David, you know, I was telling him all about the rock climbs I did. I did this 513 and I did this 512. Those are rock climbing grades. I did all of these climbs. I was telling him all about these climbs I was doing. And then he was talking to me, you know, about what had been going on in his life. And then I gave David a hint that I was interested in Christianity. You know what I said? While I was in France, I visited a lot of cathedrals. You see, I had realized when I was in France, the aloneness, the bizarre experiences, all of those things that happened to me while I was in France, they just began to weigh on me, and I knew David had become a Christian, and so I just said a little thing to David to let him know that I was interested in spiritual things. And David picked up the hint, praise God. And David said, you know, Nathan, I want to tell you an amazing story. And if you've not been listening, and I think everybody's been listening, I'm very thankful for that. But if you've not been listening, listen to this story, because this is a true story that will absolutely amaze you. When I told David I had gone to a lot of cathedrals while I was there in France, David picked up that hint. He said, Nathan, I'd like to tell you a story. The other day I was out rock climbing, and it started to rain a little bit, and I didn't have my harness on. I didn't have my rope on. I didn't have my rock climbing shoes on. And I was at the top of the cliff. And there's a move called a heel hook. It's where you basically throw your heel up over the top and you pull with your heel. And I was doing a heel hook, and as I was doing the heel hook, I slipped off, straight off backwards. And I was falling down to the ground head first. And he said, as I was falling to the ground, I managed just to flip my body around. And as I flipped my body around, I landed on my ankle, and like that, I broke it. Immediately, it had swollen up. It was huge. It had grown to being about that big around before he even got to the car. He went immediately to the doctor. In fact, it was interesting. The doctor that actually x-rayed him was a chiropractor who used to eat at a restaurant that was run by a Seventh-day Adventist woman. And the chiropractor and the Seventh-day Adventist woman would trade free lunch for free medical work. So he got his leg x-rayed by this doctor, and sure enough, he had broken it. His mom was a nurse. His mother gave him an air cast, set the thing, gave him an air cast. And that night, David prayed. He said, God, I have committed the sin of presumption. Remember I said, if you weren't listening, you should be listening now. He said, God, I have been committing the sin of presumption. I shouldn't have been out climbing without the rope, without the harness, without my shoes. He said, God, please forgive me. And if you're willing, please heal my leg. And the next morning when David woke up, God spoke to his heart and said, David, get out of bed like nothing ever happened. So he hopped right out of bed, landed on his feet. He said the first thing he did was run upstairs, poured himself a bowl of cereal, and his leg was absolutely and completely healed overnight. In fact, it's amazing because that very day that his leg was healed, he went to work. He worked in a vegetarian restaurant run by a Seventh-day Adventist woman. A punk rock. Punk rockers always ate there, and that's how the punk rock and the vegetarianism all ties into becoming a Seventh-day Adventist Christian. The woman at the restaurant had witnessed to him. He became a Seventh-day Adventist. And while he was working there, that day right after his leg had been healed, the doctor that x-rayed him came into the restaurant and just about fell over. He said, David, what in the world are you doing here? And David looked the doctor square in the eye and says, Doctor, Jesus healed my leg. Jesus healed my leg. Now, my friends, I'm telling you, I had begun to feel the incompleteness of my life. I had begun to realize that I had been filling my life with all of these things and I was finding no happiness, but I had yet to realize that it was Jesus that could heal that. But I tell you this, that night, I remember after that conversation with David, I was driving home, and this is just incredible. I remember exactly where I was. I was driving my dad's F-150 truck. My dad had an old, beat-to-pieces F-150 truck. I was driving. It was in the middle of the beginning of November. The sun was setting. A gentle rain was falling. I was in my dad's F-150 truck. The light was changing from green to yellow to red, and I was slowing down. Off to my right was the Army National Guard. Just down the street was the Taco Bell. And at that moment, God just reached down and touched me and said, I'm real. And I tell people at that moment I got the what I call the Holy Ghost shivers. I just got the shivers. And I knew God existed. I knew God was real. And I knew God was working in people's lives here and now. He is real. He is working. He is speaking to your heart even tonight. I believe it with all my heart. It's amazing. 2 weeks later, David came up to me and he said, Nathan, would you like to study the Bible? And I have no idea why I said yes, but I did. And about 5 weeks later, I was baptized into the Seventh-day Adventist Church. We'd get together on Sunday evenings. We'd go rock climbing all day. We'd go to the indoor climbing gym. We'd climb for 6 or 7 hours. We'd eat a big, huge, good vegetarian dinner. And then we would study the Bible from about 7 o'clock until 1 or 2 in the morning. We would just study, 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 study. My mom, after about 3 weeks of that, she came up to me and she said, who are you? She said, where did my son go? If I'd have known what I know now, I would have said Jesus killed him and made a new one. Young people, tonight, this is the message that I want you to understand. You can look for completeness in relationships. You can look for completeness in friendships. You can look for completeness in rock climbing or skateboarding, or you can look for completeness in anything, but you will not find it except for in Jesus Christ. Completeness cannot be found in activity. It cannot be found in relationships. It cannot be found in music. It can only be found in Jesus Christ. Tonight, I told you I want to make an appeal. Tonight, we're going to make an appeal, a simple appeal. If you want to be complete in Christ, if you want to be whole in Christ, then I want to invite you to stand with me and we're going to sing, I Have Decided to Follow Jesus. You know the song, I Have Decided to Follow Jesus? You know that song, don't you? I Have Decided to Follow Jesus. It's in your book, but we'll sing it, we'll lead it. Come on up, guys, let's stand. And if you've decided to follow Jesus and tonight you want to say, Jesus, I don't want to be incomplete. I don't want to be incomplete. Tonight, Jesus, I want to be full. I want to be complete. Just want to invite you to stand with me. And we're going to sing, I Have Decided to Follow Jesus. It is very important to me that nobody leaves until the service is all the way over. Let's stand together and sing, I Have Decided to Follow Jesus. Tonight, I want to ask too, as we're singing, I Have Decided to Follow Jesus, maybe there's somebody here tonight. Maybe there's somebody here tonight who is especially feeling the Spirit of God speaking to their heart. You're feeling incomplete. You're feeling like you're struggling. You're feeling like you've been trying to make yourselves whole by putting the wrong piece of the puzzle in. And tonight you want to say, Jesus, I want to be complete. Tonight you want to say, Jesus, I'm tired of playing games. Tonight I want to be whole. As we sing, I Have Decided to Follow Jesus, I want to invite you to come forward and pray with me. As we sing, I Have Decided to Follow Jesus.
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back.
Now stop there for now. The next line is, though none go with me, still I will follow. Maybe there's somebody tonight that wants to say, Jesus, tonight I want to be complete in Christ. Tonight I am tired of being incomplete and I want to come. Though none go with me, still I will follow. Maybe tonight that's you. Maybe tonight the Spirit of God has been speaking to your heart and you want to say, tonight I want to be complete in Christ. As we sing the next verse of the song, I want to invite you to come. Let's sing together.
None join me, still I will follow. Though none join me, still I will follow. Though no one join me, still I will follow. No turning back, no turning back.
As we sing the next line, the world behind me, the cross before me, I want to invite others. There are still others. I know the feeling. It's what I call the satanic glue. You just feel like you need to make the decision. You feel like you want to make the decision. But then you think, well, what will others think? Well, listen, brothers and sisters, what will you think when you're burning in hell with them? Hey! And it's not funny. This is serious stuff. It's very serious stuff. You forgive my sharpness, but brothers and sisters, do we not believe it when Jesus says, fear not him who can destroy the body, but fear him rather who can destroy body and soul in hell? I'll tell you what, brothers and sisters, I just pull my hair out. I think we are dealing with the most solemn, incredible things, and we can sit around and yuck it up. Brothers and sisters, we are complete in Christ, not in all this nonsense. I'm just beside myself at times with consternation. Such solemn and important truths. Maybe there's others tonight that want to say, the world behind me, the cross before me. I want to invite you to come forward as we sing. Let's sing together.
The world behind me, the cross before me, the world behind me, the cross before me, the world behind me, the cross before me, no turning back, no turning back.
Let's sing it one more time. The world behind me.
The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. No turning back, no turning back.
Let's kneel together, young people. Father, I thank you for each one of these young people. Lord, I know you love them with an everlasting love. And Father, today, I pray that you would give them completeness. Lord, please keep us from running and chasing after all the things that we chase after. Lord, give us a heart that chases after Christ. May we find Him, and in Christ, may we find wholeness and completeness and joy. And Lord, I just plead with you, Father, that you would, throughout this week, as we make these radical commitments to Christ, that you would do a work from the inside out in each heart here. Lord, we're tired of just doing the external religion that is put upon us by our parents. We're tired of all the externals, and we want real completeness through Christ. Lord, please, I pray with you, come down in power. Come down and visit your people. Lord, you say, suffer the children to come unto me, for such is the kingdom of heaven. Today, Father, may each young person here find the kingdom of heaven. May they find completeness in Christ. Lord, I pray that you would just give me a sweetness as I communicate. Give the other workers here a love. Pour love into our hearts. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to be accessible to them. That we can fellowship and visit and be friends. Bless these people in their decision tonight. Lord, may every one of them find completeness in you. May we find the hope of eternity in you. And Lord, give us that strength we need. In Jesus' name, amen.
You've been listening to another special American Cassette Ministries presentation. This is a digital recording for optimum sound quality. International copyright 2002, American Cassette Ministries, all rights reserved. For additional cassettes by this speaker or for a free catalog of other American Cassette Ministry cassettes, please contact us as follows. To order toll-free in the United States and Canada, dial 800-233-4450. For international calls, dial 717-652-7000. For fax orders, dial 717-652-9050. Our internet email address is info@americancassette.org. Other cassettes may also be ordered from our secure website at www.americancassette.org. Our entire catalog is online, and we accept MasterCard, Visa, and Discover credit cards. Or you may simply write to American Cassette Ministries, Post Office Box 922, Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, 17108 in the United States of America. Maintaining the integrity of the Three Angels' messages for 27 years, American Cassette Ministries requests your continued prayers and financial support as we strive to provide you with the finest, most powerful spiritual messages available. Our one purpose in ministry, to prepare you and your loved ones to meet Jesus Christ. He's coming soon.